this week on Art of the Year features powerhouse vocal trio Divas 3 featuring Crystal Alyssa Garrett, Samantha Duvall, and Charity Farrell covering four decades of hit music. Next, we have the longtime publisher of Panorama Now, Susie Young Baxter, who will be also discussing the March 23rd NWI Talent Show. Our spotlight is on the Lebesnik Center for the Arts exhibit Citizen running through June 16th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Radio. Information about Art on the Air is available on our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our shows are available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for more information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we're pleased to welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight Janet Block, who's from the Lebesnik Center for the Arts in Michigan City. And she's going to discuss some of the upcoming events, especially about the exhibits and also maybe some of the spring classes. Janet, welcome back to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Janet, who's the executive director of the Lebesnik Center for the Arts. Hi.
Hi. Thank you both for having me. Good morning. And it is a beautiful day. Yeah, thank you again. Yeah.
Well, tell us about what the upcoming exhibit is, Citizen. And you know, you have it curated by a Chicago artist, Sam Kirk. And tell us a little bit about her and then some of the artists you have and what we can expect to see in it.
Sure. Well, Citizen is kind of a loaded word these days. Not that it should be, but the theme for the show is definitely different perspectives about what does citizenship afford people, what kind of access does it grant, who is not included, and even people who are citizens, like such as Puerto Ricans, why are there differences in certain sorts of access that people have, non-English speakers compared to English speakers and so forth. So the exhibit will focus on the histories of marginalized communities, especially as they face, you know, some voting rights setbacks and are often impacted the most by climate change and other issues. So Sam Kirk is started her career as a graphic designer in Chicago, and she describes herself as biracial lesbian artist who does a lot of her own work focuses on uplifting her own communities. So that could be Latina, Latinx, and Black communities in Chicago and the LGBTQ communities and so forth. So she put together a roster of artists and works that speak to this issue. Sam, her career started to take off as she became a muralist, and she's doing murals for major corporate companies like Nike and Disney, but she also does work for cities, municipalities, She has a very wonderful graphic style. She's done a coloring book, posters, and so forth. Her work is in demand. And it's interesting to me that she considers her fine artwork really self-taught, because she's probably put together a career for herself that far exceeds financially what most artists in Chicago are able to put together. So I think that comes a lot from her own background as working class, her parents working class, and insisting she have a way to support herself.
And you can find her very easily by just doing a Google search of Sam Kirk, and go to her website, and you can view some of her things in her portfolio and, you know, everything about her and everything. So tell us about some of the artists that are in the show.
So we have a whole roster of people. Sergio Maciel is a painter who has done a lot of work on the a lot of the work is narrative, let me just say that. So storytelling, and has characters in it. His work is especially speaks to environmental impact on lower income or marginalized communities. Denise Ruiz is going to be the artist who has the installation space. We're excited to show her work. She is the principal in something called the Honeycomb Network, and it's really about like how pampering and enjoyment and pleasure are sort of subversive ideas as they impact people of color. And so she's going to have a room that's sort of a delight of the senses.
So Janet, in the Hyman Gallery, will there be sculpture? And
there are some sculptures.
3D, or is it all? Yeah,
there are some sculptures. There's no video, I believe. We have an artist, Diane Solis, who's been a photographer in the LGBTQ community for many years, doing portraiture of couples. William Estrada will be doing our family day. He'll be demonstrating silk screening. Ann Heisler is an artist who is a painter, and she is part of Sam's crew. She has an all-female crew who work on the murals with her. I think that tells you a lot about the people in the show. And the show opens on a first Friday in March, March 3rd, from 5 to 8. As usual, we always have food and artists present, and hopefully, and then a cash bar.
Very good. Well, I mean, we were going to talk a little bit about classes, but we're running out of time. So sounds like a great exhibit at Lebesnik Center for the Arts. That's Janet Block, Executive Director. And its opening reception for the show is Friday, March 3rd. And you can also see a gallery talk on March 11th and a family day on June 10th. Janet, thank you so much for coming on Art
thank
on the
you.
Air.
Thank you. Sorry, we always run out of time. I talk too long.
And a Spotlight Extra, Art 4 Musical Theater of South Bend opens their season with Stephen Schwartz musical Godspell, running March 17th through the 26th. Details can be found at art4sb.org. That's art4sb.org. Art on the Air Spotlight and the full one-hour Art on the Air program on Lakeshore Public Radio is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com. This is Pledge Week for your public radio station, and Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge, so we may continue to bring you this great program.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Kenny White, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
At first, I was afraid.
spent oh so many nights just thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get
delighted to welcome Crystal, Alicia Garrett, Samantha Duval, and Charity Farrell, the Divas 3, to Art on the Air. Divas 3 consists of powerhouse vocalists performing favorite chart-topping hits from the 1960s to the 1990s. Their three-part harmony arrangements pay tribute to some of the greatest divas in music history: Aretha Franklin, Dolly Parton, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion, Cher, Donna Summer, plus many more. Three voices, four decades of music. Thank you for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome to you all. So nice to meet you.
Thank you. Same here. Thanks for having us.
Well, we're glad to have you. And I know you are short on time and everything, and you have a concert for Lakeshore Concerts on the March 17th at 7 o'clock. But we just want to find out a little bit more about each one of you and tell us your story. We'll say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us, let's start with Crystal. So Crystal, tell us about your story.
Okay. Well, I was born in...
That's a good start.
Fort Bragg. Yes, good start. I was born in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I'm an Army brat. Thank you all of the veterans and the current soldiers for all of your service. We really appreciate all that you do. And then we moved to Fort Jackson in Columbia, South Carolina. And I started singing in the church choirs, and then I moved into competing in pageants, where I eventually became Miss South Carolina in 2007. And I have opened performing for Sierra's opening act, Robin Thicke's opening act, Jennifer Holliday's opening act. That was really, really cool for me because I'm obsessed with Dreamgirls. And we actually do a song from Dreamgirls in our show, which is really cool.
So and, was it a musical household? Did your mom or father sing? Was there music in the house?
My father actually grew up, my mother and father grew up in Queens, New York, and my father had a doo-wop group when he was a teenager. And I recently found out about that. And my grandmother on my mother's side was an opera singer, and she sang for the USO. So, yes, I have some history in my family vocally, but I'm the only one that has kept it going professionally for years because it's really hard. And I don't have children, and they had children, so.
That's a tough thing about, you know, performing, especially an act like that. It really is tough on family life. I used to tell my students, too, as I said, if they wanted to go into any kind of performance, the tougher part for females, because first of all, in acting and performing, there's four times as many that want to do it. And it's really tough to be down. You have to go, you get the call to go someplace else and everything. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yes. Well, Never a dull moment.
So Samantha, let's ask you, same thing. How you got from where you were to where you are now?
Okay. I was born in California. I kind of call myself like a Southern California kid because I've sort of lived all over Southern California. But the town I grew up in was a very small town with not a whole lot of theater. I was just telling Charity about this. We had a group called Shenanigans Youth Theater Company, and that was like the only theater we really had where I grew up. But I did latch on to that, and I took, you know, dance classes and singing and acting classes with them. We did do like some variety shows. So that was kind of like my first real taste of performing. But my parents knew from a very young age that that was my passion. Always singing, always dancing, always putting on shows for like the neighborhood, like all of our neighbors. We lived in a cul-de-sac, so my friends and I, we'd set up like a little stage and stuff, and we'd always put on little shows. And so that's kind of how it started. And then as I grew, my passion for it just became stronger. And I went to college for musical theater. I married somebody who was also a musical theater actor, so it's what we're always talking about, and it's amazing to have somebody who does support me in that, and he's great. He's my number one fan, my manager. He's awesome.
And Jenna, I read that you did the cruise lines together with an act.
Yes, yeah.
I have a lot of friends who do the cruise lines.
Yeah,
I've seen some pretty amazing places around the world.
Same. Yeah, I've traveled to over 80 countries, and I I love travel, so it was the perfect combination of doing what I love and also getting to see the world. So I've done quite a few cruise ship contracts. I've done lots of tours. I've done lots of regional theater gigs all over the U.S. I performed in Shanghai Disneyland at a brand new show they just opened up. Would have been a couple years ago now. And I actually first found out about Divas 3 7 years ago when I was working on a celebrity cruise ship. And I went out and I found the girls after the show and just told them, hey, like, this job is perfect for me. When you have an opening, I need to be considered.
Call me.
And so I just kind of, I kept in touch with those girls over the years. And now finally Divas 3 has grown to the point where they were able to bring in some more divas. And I was one of the lucky ones who.
So as a collective, do you get to also give your input on what songs you would like to sing?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. There's moments in the second act. Do you want to talk about that, Jane?
Oh, yeah. So the first act is pretty set. And then once we get to the second act, it's more about what we shine at individually. So each of us have our own solo moments in that second act that are really chosen specifically for us by our producer. But we are a big involvement in what songs are even on the table to be chosen.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wonderful.
And we'll explore a little bit more about that. But Charity, we want to give you your chance to talk about you and how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Yeah, I actually have quite a similar story to Sam. I grew up in musical theater. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, which is, oddly enough, one of the venues that we play at a couple days after Munster, which is crazy. That was a happy accident, but I'm going to my hometown.
Yeah.
But I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and I started in musical theater. I do have a musical family, but not professionally. It was just always something fun that we did all together. So as a family, they used to call us the Farrell Family Singers. Like, that was what we were known as. We would all do like harmonies and everything. So from a very young age, I was always singing, mostly with my family. And then I started doing musical theater, and there's a lot of theater in Ohio. So as a child, I was just constantly doing sometimes 2-3 shows at the same time, just like hopping from rehearsal to rehearsal. And then once I was old enough to consider it, I was like, I think I'm going to do this for my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I moved to New York. I lived there for almost 9 years and did a lot of stuff out there. Most of the stuff that I did meant I left New York, because that's kind of what happens. You move to New York, you audition, and then you leave to do the show, you come back. So I lived there, but mostly I was gone. I did a lot of cruise ships as well, Disney and Celebrity and all of those. And then I kind of slowed down. 2020 sort of changed a lot of things for me, where I really valued much more being with my family and having just a simpler life. So Divas sort of fell into my lap, honestly, where I wasn't in a place where I was willing to audition anymore and do the hustle. It's just so hard. And I didn't want to live away from home and my family at that time. And so I got in contact with our producer just by a friend, mutual friend that we had. And it ended up working out. And now I'm officially working for Divas. And I'm so grateful that that happened, because otherwise I probably would just find a normal old job and be hanging out in Ohio right now. So I'm really, really grateful for this.
So tell us a little bit about Divas 3, what people can expect when they see Divas 3.
Well, you can expect a celebration of divas and, you know, everything that that word encompasses. You know, to us, it means women who are powerful, women who are confident and strong and know what they want, and they're not afraid to go after, you know, those things that they want.
And also talented.
Yes, and of course also talented.
Yes. And we perform music from the divas from the 1960s through the 1990s. So all of the divas, like you said, that everyone we're really familiar with, Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Dolly Parton.
We had some kids come to our show last night, and they knew some of the songs.
It was so
it just goes to show how, you know,
the
how popular this music is.
It covers
so
all.
So who are your personal favorites to sing? So Crystal, who do you like singing?
I love singing Aretha. It's so hard, and we talk about this a lot, because we don't try to emulate the divas. We don't try to become them, because we can't, because they are one and only, you know, each and every one of them. But we take our own spin on it and take what God has given us and just honor, try to honor them in our performances.
How many performances do you do on a tour? You know, like right now you're doing, do you do a whole like year season or half year season, or how does that work for you, like your particular group?
Right now we're in, we call it like legs of the tour. So right. This leg is about 2 months and some change. Mm-hmm. So we did a leg in the fall a couple months ago in October. That was 2 weeks. So it just kind of depends on where we're routed and how long that routing worked out, like where it takes us and how long that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But it can be anywhere from like this week we did about 4 performances. We're, by the time that it will be a week time slot, it'll be about 4 performances. And then sometimes it can go up to 8. So it just kind of depends on our routing, how close.
That's a lot of sequins.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's so heavy. Our suitcase with all of our costumes, we've compiled them all into one suitcase, and it's like 75 pounds. It's so heavy. Wow.
There's my heavy and shower floor. It's full of it.
Yeah. I was still washing off sequins last night. All the glitter, all the sequins.
That and glitter. The glitter you can never get out of anywhere. So, yeah, glitter. I always hated dance school. When they would have glitter, and I'd live with glitter on my stage for years. So now, if do you stay together as a group? I mean, you're like, let's say, Divas 3 Group X, and or do they mix you guys up occasionally? Do you work with other people? I mean, I realize there's a vocal thing, but there's got to be, knowing how performances, you guys know your timing and things better. It seemed like it would be smarter to keep you together. But, and the other second part of that question is, one of you gets like really sick, does someone else pop in? So explain that process.
Yeah, if somebody has to, if one of us, completely loses their voice or something, then that is the nice thing about having a rostered cast, is that we can call somebody else and hopefully they can, fly in and fill in. But we will be together a lot this year. Yeah. This group, we're going to be working together a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The goal is to, exactly what you said, to keep the groups together, because we do form a bond that's pretty apparent on stage as well. And it helps lead the show, right? So the goal is to keep groups together, but it doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
I'm not really auditioning for other things, but almost everybody else in the cast is still auditioning, so they have other things come up. She does a lot of film and TV. Mm-hmm. She does a lot more musical theater stuff and film and TV. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of other auditions and opportunities that come up that our producer is so lovely, and she'll let us do those things and come back to the show. Yeah. So sometimes we have to kind of mix and match the casts. But for the most part, we try to keep it all together.
Yeah, keep the dynamic together.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We've asked all of our guests sometimes this question, and we'll let each one of you respond, is how COVID impacted you in your performing life and your personal life, not only for Divas 3, but whatever you did out there. So
I went to China. I went to work at Shanghai Disneyland.
You were in the thick of it.
Well, the funny thing is they went through it, like, their rough period before we did.
Right.
So when we were experiencing it really badly over here, life was pretty normal over there for them.
Oh, I see.
So that's why I went to work there, because there really was nothing here.
Wow. Yeah.
But they were, I mean, they had, their COVID policies in place, of course. Mm-hmm. And you had to show, your... God, I forgot what it's called. They use barcodes for everything. And you would have to show that your barcode was green before you could go anywhere, before you could go to work, before you could go to the supermarket. But as long as you had your little green barcode that said you were fine, you could basically live life, you know?
And then was it busy at Disneyland? I mean, was it a vibrant sort of?
Yes. Very busy. They love Disneyland and all things Disney. I played Elsa in the show that I did there. And I always felt like a rock star every time I walked on stage. They would scream for Elsa as if she was Beyonce, and it was so much fun. And of course, they call her Aisha. That's translates. They'd say, Aisha, Aisha, it's Aisha. And they would just all scream. So it was really, really fun. But that's something I went and did because there was no work here.
Mm.
So
what a blessing to be able to have done that.
It was fun.
Well, I was at home. thank God, with all of the things that the government were able to give artists, because it was a really rough time for us. There was no way that we could work remotely until, some people figured out how to put performances on the internet at some point, but it was really rough there in the beginning. I've worked on ships as well, and I got stuck on one of the princess ships as a cast vocalist. So I was one of the ones that was stuck for a couple of months, and that was not fun. That was very scary, actually. But once we got off, I actually was able to spend, I'm married, and I was able to spend two straight years with my husband, and that has never happened because as an artist, I'm always, we're always bebopping from place to place. So it was really cool. And I was like, am I annoying you yet? No. I've been here for more than 3 months. So that was a different dynamic that we were able to build and see in our marriage. So it was really cool.
So and you're still smiling, like, so.
Yeah, and I'm still married.
And you're still
married. So things worked out. It's fine.
Good.
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't annoy him too much.
And Charity, how did it impact you?
Well, I mentioned earlier, I ended up leaving and moving back to Ohio to be with my family during that time. And sort of a lot of things changed for me just mentally, just being aware of my priorities. Because before, it's like, oh, your family's always going to be there. And then COVID happened. And of course, it was all these people were losing their family members. Mm-hmm. And it was just really traumatic. So I was like, you know what? I need to have my priorities straight. So I went home, I bought a house, and I was like, I guess I'm a normal human now. So I teach voice. I'm a voice teacher. So I really leaned into that pretty hard. Mm-hmm. And I teach over Zoom still. But at the time, that was how I sort of made ends meet for a while. But yeah, and then eventually once everything opened back up again, I had stopped auditioning, but I had thankfully made enough contacts over the years because I've been doing it so long that people started calling me, even though I didn't audition. Like, we thought you'd come up to this audition. Why aren't you here? And I was like, oh, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And so eventually I just started getting jobs by word of mouth.
Nice.
So, which is, I'm so grateful for. Or, yeah, yes. And that's exactly how I ended up working with divas. It's just word of mouth, really. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, they're all such triumphant stories of getting through the pandemic. It's wonderful.
Well, now you're in Divas 3, and we don't want to push you out the door on Divas 3, but what are some of the future things you want to do maybe beyond Divas 3? Are you looking to do like big stage, like Broadway type stuff, or, you know, major or national tours, which, you know, you one year's on a national tour, you're in for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just moved to New York with my husband. My family's from New York, like I was saying earlier. So we moved into my grandmother's family home because she unfortunately has developed Alzheimer's and not to get too deep on here, but she now lives with my parents in South Carolina. So her house was vacant and it was kind of God moving me because I've always said, oh, well, you know, Broadway might be nice and I would love to play this role. Mm-hmm. But nothing has ever come up that has made me and my husband just jump and say, okay, let's go and try this. So yes, I will be beginning my Broadway auditions soon. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also still involved in TV and film. I had a movie that just came out this past September that I was in as well. So yeah.
What movie was
that? You want to say what that is?
Oh yeah, it was Honk for Jesus, Save Your Soul.
Oh.
With Sterling K. Brown and Regina Hall, and they were fabulous. So sharing the screen with them was a dream come true.
Sounds beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't want to say Broadway is like the be-all, end-all because it never really has been for me. Like, it would be great if it happened. Yeah. I'm just going to keep doing what I love to do and, you know, we'll see what happens. Okay. That's kind of always been my attitude. As long as I'm doing what I love, I'm happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Charity?
Broadway definitely, yeah, Broadway used to be my end-all, be-all, and then obviously 2020 happened and a lot of things changed. Now I've been doing a lot more directing and like back end producing behind the scenes. And I'm really enjoying that. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm starting to lean more into that world. Mm-hmm. Performing is lovely. It's awesome. It's so fun, but I'm definitely more of an introvert, like naturally. So I think I accidentally found my niche during 2020. Instead of being front of house, I'm like, I'm totally cool being in the background. That's cool too.
Which is crazy because she's phenomenally talented.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
So.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the beauty of all of it is that you have the flexibility to act, to go into theater, it's just really nice to explore all that artistic talent.
I could even see myself doing casting someday.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
I think I could enjoy that. I don't know at what point I'd be ready for that, but I think I'd have a great time doing that too.
You would be great. I don't know if I could do it because I'd just be like, everybody's hired.
I think more than anything, it's like if we're in the industry, I think we're happy. The point is like there's a vibrance that happens with artists that like you can't, once you have that experience, it's so hard to step away. And I'm sure you understand, since you used to work at that theater and direct and all of that, there's just something about it that you can't just walk away from. And it doesn't mean you have to always perform. There's tons of other opportunities within that same industry.
You know, and just briefly, I never really performed. Everyone said, oh, you should. And I said, well, one, I'm not very tall. So, you know, you need your leading man. I mean, I'm 5'7", but that's not tall enough, you know, for most theater world. And, but I always I'm much better at produce and direct. I like making whatever happen on stage and making the stage picture happen. So I totally buy into that. And the schedule I had at Munster, which was high school, we did two musicals a year, two straight plays. My wife co-directed those musicals with me, but also she produced two shows and we had 60 events in the theater. So, you know, theater was theater. And my daughter did some theater for a while too. So theater was the family business, so to speak.
I love to hear that. That's really cool.
Very good. So you're looking forward, and we've only got about a minute and a half left here. You're going to be in Munster on March 17th. That's a Friday for Lakeshore Concerts. What are some of the songs that they can expect to hear?
Well, they're going to hear some Respect.
Yes. You're going to hear a 60s medley and also a 70s medley.
We've got lots of solos throughout too. I sing some Barbara Streisand. We both sing some Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin. There's a lot of songs in there and lots of medleys too.
So get ready to have a good time.
Okay.
Yes, we are.
Soul Woman.
We sing Natural Woman.
Absolutely.
That's right.
When does this leg of your tour end?
May 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're on the road all the way till May 2nd.
That's, wow, that's a pretty hefty schedule there. Well, we appreciate you taking time. We know you guys have to get on the road and coming on Art in the Air. I've been speaking with Crystal, Samantha, and Charity, and their performance will be March 17th at Munster Auditorium, 7 p.m. for Lakeshore Community Concerts. You can find out more about Divas 3 at divas3lasvegas.com and lakeshoreconcerts.org, and you can find out more about that. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing your stories with our audience on Art on the Air.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah, it's raining men.
This is Whitney Reynolds of The Whitney Reynolds Show, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are welcoming Susie Young Baxter to Art on the Air. Susie is CEO of Panorama Now magazine, and she has published it for 31 years now. The magazine focuses on things to do, places to go, such as the Indiana Dunes, as well as local concerts, festivals, theater, parks, and recreation. Family fun. Thank you, Susie, for joining Larry and I on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, we're glad to have you. A fellow WVLPer here also. And so, Susie, we like, you know, explore our guests' background, hear your origin story, and like I always like to say, how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Susie Young Baxter.
Well, I'm actually a visual artist at heart. I knew I was an artist when I was practically 2 years old, and went to college, majored in commercial art, and then decided that I wanted to make money with my art. So I went into commercial art and graphic design. And I'm originally from Indianapolis, and I had a really fledging advertising agency in Indianapolis. And in 1985, during the Northwest Indiana recession, we moved up here because my husband got a real nice engineering job. And so we're in the middle of this recession, and I'm trying to find work. So it was pretty slim at the time. So I decided to go into publishing and started doing newsletters, and just really, really enjoyed having something to offer to people that helps change their lives and benefit their lives. Well, so I got hooked on it.
Susie, what was that moment at 2 years old that knew you were going to, you know, tell us about your childhood? And was there arts in the family?
No, there's no arts in the family. but I remember I did this drawing, and it was all color, colored pencil, just a design, one of those scribbly designs, and you just fill in all the circles. I just remember doing it. Did it all on my own, and then showed my mom when it was done, and she was, you know, just amazed, and she knew then, and so it was always encouraged. And even when I was younger, I did go to private art lessons, but you know, while I was a teenager.
Did that consist of drawing and painting, or did it also include sculpture? What were they like?
Mostly all visual. I can do pen and ink, watercolor, oil painting, acrylic.
Well, have you ever exhibited your work? I mean, or you cover all the different arts, but maybe it's time for Susie Young Baxter to put her name at the bottom of a canvas or something.
Well, I did do architectural renderings, and I got paid good money from the Builders Association. And I studied perspective drawing before I did this, and they're something else. They're quite involved. They're very detailed, and they're all pen and ink. And then computers came, and so it's not needed as much now.
So the origin story of Baxter, you kind of started doing newsletters. How did that first happen in terms of the development of doing that into more of a formalized business?
Right. You know, I really can't remember the exact details, but I had a friend. Yeah, I kind of do now. I had a friend that lived in Heritage Valley, and they're a property owners association, and she wanted a newsletter for all of the people that lived there, and they didn't have one. So she went to the board and said, hey, let's do this newsletter. I got a friend of mine that will do it for you. And so that's how it got started. I did a newsletter for Heritage Valley Subdivision here in Bethel, and then that expanded on to Shorewood in the Shorewood Forest neighborhood, which was bigger. And I just got a lot of feedback from people saying, hey, I read this article, and I really really glad you said that, and it really, you know, did something for me, and I just like, wow. That's, you know, kind of neat.
Very much so.
You started doing these collection of newsletters, and so then it started to develop into a magazine, which is we now know as Panorama Now, which was actually, and I assume it's still a print magazine, though a lot of this content's online, but tell us how that transition occurred.
Well, because I had done those two newsletters, I met the owner, the founder of Panorama Now, and she was wanting to retire. And she knew I did these two newsletters, and she knew the format was pretty much similar. You know, the page size and everything was similar. And she kind of suggested that I be, you know, the next, you know, buy the magazine from her. So I said, okay. And that was that.
And you've been doing that, what, about 31, 32 years or something like that?
Oh, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So for our audience that may not know Panorama Now, which I'd be surprised if they live in North Louisiana and not, tell us what you kind of cover, what the format of a magazine is, where it's distributed.
Well, the first thing I wanted to do when I took over the magazine was, because the other two newsletters had a calendar of events. And that's the one thing that people liked the most. They were like, oh, wow, I didn't know this was going on. So I added the calendar of events to the Panorama magazine, and that's what people love. They want to know beforehand. They want to know before it happens. So all of our content is before the thing is, you know, happens. So we started a very elaborate calendar of events, and that's what people like. And then we also tell people the upcoming festivals and upcoming theater. We cover all the theater. And one of the things that I experienced when from moving here from Indianapolis was the first thing I felt when I moved here was, what is there to do here? and it was a very, very powerful feeling. And you couldn't get that information from, I mean, some of it you could get, but a lot of it, you know, the family oriented things and the festivals that, you know, the newspaper had already covered them once, so they weren't going to cover them again. And I knew there was a lot of festivals up here, so I just started, I just felt like it was a valuable content for people to have.
Yeah, and where can you get Panorama now? I mean, it's you distribute that, like, think as a pickup-free publication for most places, correct?
Yes. It's mostly dropped off at restaurants. It's usually on the first Friday of the month. We have a couple of, bookstores and coffee shops and maybe some laundromats that we drop it off at. But for the most part, we deliver to restaurants. But the other thing that most people don't realize, and I keep telling everybody that I can, it's also direct mailed to doctor's offices and dentist offices and some car repair places. And the address is actually printed on the magazine, and it says subscription underneath there, so people won't take it home. And those magazines get a lot of eyeballs because they stay in there forever.
So Susie, and I think the beginning time, like 30 years ago, is of course quite different than now. I'm sure now a lot of people are writing in and telling you what their events are coming on. But what were those beginning days like?
Searching
out the events.
Oh my goodness, you have no idea.
I know, tell us.
We started sending out a postcard every month to these people and saying, hey, this is our deadline. You want to be on the calendar? This is our deadline. And we mailed out every single month about 250 postcards to, you know, the Indiana Tourism Bureau, the Poor County Tourism Bureau. I mean, everybody we could think of, you know, the Expo Center, most, you know, the Center for Performing Arts. And then it transitioned into email. So we started emailing people each month our deadline. And now we have a list of every single month of people that have events on that month. And we email them. So it was a process, I'm telling you.
It still is, I'm sure. But
yes, it is. And people aren't, for a while there, we had, you know, a lot of press releases. It was really a big deal, a really popular thing. And now with, I don't know why, but with the internet and Facebook, we're not getting the press releases like we used to either. So it's kind of in a way.
Do you think that's pandemic related, though? Because it's been 3 years now. So
yeah, a little bit. It kind of went down. It seemed like it went down. The press releases went down during the pandemic. And now that everything is supposed to be back to normal, it just seems like everybody's got this habit that, you know, we don't do press releases anymore. And the people that do, we really appreciate it. I mean, really, they get a blog post on the website. And there's a lot of benefits. So I encourage you people out there listening, send those press releases out.
I know when I was working at a Munster Theater Company, I sent you releases all the time, ready to go.
That's how I really appreciated you. You were very good, very prompt, and pictures. That's how Larry and I met, actually.
Yeah, we met doing that. And actually, for a while, I think we distributed Panorama Now from a Munster. So it's actually an important process. And you're right, the news release process, there's a skill to writing it. And I used to even tease with the Times. I said, if you don't give me a story, just give me a picture with a caption and I'll be really happy. And that's it. So you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM. So tell us the transition, you kind of touched on it, into digital media, though, because probably more people may be familiar, not with the printed magazine, which still is there, but how you went into digital media and how Panorama Now is now available online on Facebook and otherwise.
Oh, that's a different story, too. At first, we used the website to organize the calendar, and we would add the events to the website, and then we would go from the website to the magazine. And it was basically a data entry function. And then the websites become more and more popular, and we kept, you know, upgrading and finding, you know, different people that would help us with doing a really good job. And then we got into search engine optimization about 8 years ago. And then we also did content search engine optimization. And we've been doing content optimization for a very long time. And so here recently, Google algorithms completely changed. I mean, they just reformatted the whole entire ranking system. And a lot of people don't know this. I mean, they tell me, I hear people say, oh, I do it all the time. Well, no, this was completely overhauled because they found out they have competition with TikTok. So they realized they had to change their formatting. And so now, last year, we had over 500,000 unique visitors. That's over 500,000 different computers logged into Panorama now. And that's because of our content SEO that we've been doing and the software SEO. And now we come up like really, 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 really high all the time. I was amazed. I had my IT guy tell me this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I actually had to do my own research on my own website. And I had to do it on my phone. It's different on your phone than it is on the desktop. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I had no idea things had changed and it was happening like that. So it was really good. And then also during the pandemic, another thing that happened during the pandemic that actually changed big time for us was we had nothing to do. Okay, there was no events. So we're sitting around pulling our thumbs. Because everything was canceled. And so I'm like, you know, out of boredom, sheer boredom, I was looking at sewing your own mask. And I do sew, too. Another one of my skills. So all these videos had the exact same way of sewing a mask. And so I thought, this is really complicated. You had to have that 16 folds. You had to be perfect. You had to put the sewing needle in a certain way. So I said, there's an easier way to sew this mask. So I just I just took a piece of material, put a cereal bowl on top of it, cut around it, and I did the instructions on how to do it. You do elastic on the edge, and that's it. You're done. And so I blogged that on the website, and that went viral. It went all over the country. It went to South Carolina, Florida, Texas. It got over 35,000 hits on that one page. Not the website, just that one page got 35,000 hits of people looking at an easier way to sew masks. So because of that threshold we reached, Newsbreak discovered us, which is a national news organization and it's a national news app that is on your phone and or your email. And so now every time we blog, it goes on Newsbreak. The first year they kind of experimented with, you know, onesie twosies. Every once in a while they would put one up and then they realized that they get a lot of click-throughs, they get a lot of likes, get a lot of clicks. So they just made it all across the board. Every single time we blog, it goes on Newsbreak. So that helped a great deal.
I bet.
It's just one of those stories.
Well, and search engine optimization is important, and you're right. The rules do change on it and how you can get your piece up there. So it's interesting. Well, you have another project you're working on that you along with somebody else, and you can tell us a little about that. It's the Northwest Indiana Talent Show at the Mascot Hall of Fame. So tell us all about that, how the origins of that, and tell us about how you got hooked up with Becky. And, of course, Becky's your co-host on the Panorama Now feature on WVLP, which happens on Fridays right after our show.
Okay, well, this was during the pandemic. I was bored, had nothing to do. And Frank Mervan was running for Congress. And Becky is a big supporter. Becky Matea is a big supporter of Frank. They're longtime friends. And Becky and I are longtime friends. And so she kind of said, well, you know, maybe you could help me, you know. And I've known of Frank for a very long time because of what he did for the North Township through Panorama. And I knew all the things that he had done for the community. So we sort of got together and supported him. And she figured out things I could do to help the campaign. And then I figured out things she could do with her ideas and her creativity that kind of tied in with things that I do. And so we realized we had this big synergy going on, and she's got her concepts and vision, Vision Quest is the name of a company. And then I have my, you know, my abilities, and we just combined them together. And it was very, very, just accomplished a lot of things. And then I've always wanted to have some type of an event for Panorama. I could never really come up with anything that really made any sense. I wanted it to be, you know, entertainment oriented. And I kept coming up with ideas, and I just couldn't put anything together. And then Becky came up with, well, how about a talent show? I mean, you know, that fits in with Panorama and entertainment business. And I go, yes, that would be perfect. So we decided, and we realized that Northwest Indiana really doesn't, the whole community really doesn't have a Northwest Indiana talent show. I mean, there's one in Wheeling and there's one at, I don't know, a couple of other places just at the high school. So we decided we were going to have the whole community, the whole Northwest Indiana. And I can run through the list real quick. It's also Battle of the Municipalities. We've got people from all over. We've got people from Westville, Hobart, Maryville, Gary, Portage, Highland, Crown Point, Munster, Chesterton, and LaPorte. So it is a battle of the municipalities of Northwest Indiana. And we have three magic acts. Kalita out of LaPorte, he's going to do $1,000 escape. So what happens is someone from the audience ties him up, and if he cannot escape, they get awarded $1,000.
Wow.
So that's going to be an exciting, exciting skit.
Well, Matt's always exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we have three magic people. We have a couple singers. We have a comedy improv. We have a spoken word. We have tap dance from Indiana Ballet Theater out of Crown Point. So I'd like to, if I can, just real quick, like, run through the names of all the people.
Yeah, I'd love it.
Oh, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Masaz Yuga, it's instrumental group. It's a bunch of family band that just started up out of Westville. There's Nikki Jade and April Rain. They do a magic show out of Hobart. There's Elena Vasilakis. Sorry. That's Alakas out of Maryville. You can find all these people on our website, Facebook page, or at our website. There's Kennard Jackson out of Gary. He does spoken word. There's Keelan Wendorf out of Portage. He does magic. There's Maritza Aguilar, a singer. She's a younger teenager out of Highland. There's Pat Duffing, a singer-songwriter out of Hobart. I mentioned the Ballet Theater. Oh, and one that I'm really excited about is Mary Jocelyn. She is actually an author, but her books, children's books, this is out of Valparaiso, are going to be made into movies, and they're going to be played on Disney and Nickelodeon, and she's going to show a scene from one of her movies. Oh. So that's a totally different, you know, off-the-wall type of entertainment that's going to be there. Adam Golikowski is out of Highland. And Valerie Kemp Davis is a singer and also an author. She's out of East Chicago. Pete Ruval is a singer-songwriter out of Hobart. Lydia Daniel Colas is a singer out of Munster. The Trainwrecks Comedy Club out of Chesterton. Jaylen Halliburton, he's a singer out of Gary. And then I mentioned Matt Kalita out of LaPorte.
And who are your judges?
Who are your judges?
Actually, I am one of the judges. And there's a long story behind that, but I don't think we have time for that. Mark Edward Willows, he's a very well-known Hollywood actor and producer. And Elton Jeff out of Whiting is the judge. And then we're having kind of a little comedy relief out of Oilman Stan, from the Oilman baseball team.
Well, we only have about a minute left here, so we want to give you a chance to give your websites information about the talent show, which is actually Thursday, March 23rd, and that's going to be at the Mascot Hall of Fame in Whiting. But tell us a little bit more about how people can find that online, on Facebook, Panorama Now, and everything.
Well, just type in Eventbrite, NWI Talent Show, and it'll pop right up, and you can get your tickets there. We'd like for people to follow Panorama Now, PANORAMANOW, on Facebook. We also have a YouTube channel under Panorama Now. And we're going to have a lot of videos from the talent show that are going to be coming up in the future of each one of the acts. So that's something that's going to be really exciting to look forward to. And we'd love for you to follow us on YouTube and Facebook. And go to the website. We have a free weekly newsletter. I keep forgetting about that. We have a free weekly newsletter that tells you everything going on this weekend and the blogs we did that week. So it's very, very quick, easy, fast, just a glance through a picture and a click, a link, and it's very, very powerful newsletter.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air, sharing that. Susie Young Baxter, you can also hear her on WVLP. They're heard on Friday, 12 o'clock. And, of course, the upcoming events that she just talked about. Susie, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org, and every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, also streaming live at LakeshorePublicRadio.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Radio's website as a podcast. Our spotlight interviews are also heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Radio. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Radio, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art in the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant through South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Art in the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker, and for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art on the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art on the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.